and them had this, but mine's got this. Start at 7 o'clock p.m. So y'all make sure and take notes that it's 7 o'clock, and we starting. So, well, I really wanted to get up here before Deb and Nell, but now the second order of business was to tell Deb and Nell to sit down and be quiet. Now, just welcome everybody here on a Wednesday night. Thank you for coming out. Far as I know, a way of announcements, feed the 5,000.
Yes.
Sunday. Sunday is also a special offering. Anybody got any praise reports they want to give right quick? Rose? There you go. That's what we always pray for, ain't it? More money, less work. See, I can't pray that. I just have to pray more money. I can't do less work. Because you got to work to do less work. And I don't work. Anybody else got praise report? Praise, prayer list is going around. Father, we just lift up this teenager to you tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you're the Lord of all lords. You're the God of all gods. You are the great I am. Father, you tell us in your word, Lord God, that we have authority in Jesus' name. So, Father, tonight we take that authority in Jesus' name, and we command this oxygen level to rise in this teenager, to rise up and to be normal. And, Father, whatever's causing this, Lord God, we curse the root of it, and we tell it to happen no more. She'll live a long and healthy life, and she'll breathe normally, Lord God, and she'll go forth, Lord God, and sing your praises. So, Father, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus right now. We claim it right now in Jesus' name. We expect right now a turnaround, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else got anything you want to share? The list is going around. Go ahead. All right. We're going to pray and ask God to bless this service, and Virgil's got a song for us. We're going to do it. So, Father, we thank you for this night. Father, I thank you for each one that's here, Lord God. Father, I know in my heart, Lord God, that we're not here by accident. Father, we desire to be in your presence. That's why we're here tonight, Lord God, to be in your presence, to hear your word, to study your word. So, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to come into this place. Fill every molecule of air in this building. Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to take over and lead us and guide us. Teach us your word, Lord God. Bring things to our remembrance, Lord God, that we have forgotten. And, Father God, when we leave this place, Lord God, we're going to be able to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord because I was with the Lord tonight. And, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take off your disguise. Whoever told you it ain't worth the fight? The cross tells a story. How to change your mind? 'Cause there's only love in the heart of God. No. As you are. shaking his head, writing you off, leaving you lost. He's not sitting there shaking his head, wishing he'd never went to that cross. He's not sitting there shaking his head, writing you off, leaving you lost. He's not sitting there shaking his head. He went to that cross. He went to that cross.
So there's a young man here tonight that I asked him to come because I've watched him. And he's powerful because he's anointed to do what he's about to do. So if y'all would, Hayden, come on. Y'all give Hayden a round. Because you don't see many young men that want to do things for God, but this man does. Do your thing.
So Lord, I shall never know the precious.
How about now? God give me this in the middle of my work center, talking to one of my inmates. And I'll clarify that in a minute, but the title of this, It Shall Come to Pass. It shall come to pass. I wonder if any time in your life have you ever been in a situation or things gone wrong in your life where everything was turned upside down? Wasn't nothing going right? Everything was wrong. You to the point where you just wanted to give up, throw the Bible at somebody, and say, I quit. I have. I've been in such turmoil before, my stomach would be hurting, just aching, looking for answers, but couldn't find answers. But then I began to read and I began to study in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Paul writes these words, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, when I started studying this and I read that, those first three words kept getting to me, "For I reckon." And I thought to myself, there's got to be some big spiritual meaning to that. Then I finally realized something, and it wasn't so much spiritual meaning. It was just the fact that I realized Paul was a little bit of a redneck. "I reckon. Go yonder. Take a gander." Paul had some of that inside of him. So it makes me feel a little better to realize, you know, that just shows me that Paul was just a human being just like anybody else, even though he wrote a lot of the Bible. But Paul said that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul didn't say the glory that's going to be revealed, but he said the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And I began to think about that as, what is Paul talking about, the glory that's going to be revealed in us? So I began to think and I began to look and I began to try to understand, what was this glory that Paul was talking about? And the only glory that I know that's worthy of talking about is the glory of God. So Paul said there's going to come a day that the glory of God is going to be revealed in us. Not necessarily in the world, but the world's going to see it because they're going to see it in us. You see, the church is about to come alive. And the world's going to see the church because the glory of God's going to be in us, the people. Not so much the building, but in the people. So when you walk down the streets, if some things are going to begin to happen like it did back in the day when your shadow's going to be able to crest over somebody and a lame man's going to get up and walk, because the glory of God is going to manifest in you, in us. So let's get a little deeper into that. I began to look and I began to ask myself, just what is the glory of God? The glory of God is the acts of God. The glory of God is the will of God. The glory of God is the mercy of God. You see, we're about to enter an age where mercy is going to be very important, because judgment is coming. And I don't want to enter into judgment without the mercy, because I already know in my own self I'm guilty. But because of the mercy of God, I'm innocent. Because of the mercy of God, I become righteous. So you begin to look at this, you begin to realize that the glory of God is the acts of God, the kindness of God, but really the glory of God is a manifestation of God's presence. You see, we've touched it here several times where God would come in and he would manifest himself, but I'm telling you, there's come a time with this world and you and yourself, we need to break it down, that in my life, these worries, these things that's come against me is not even going to compare to the glory that's in my life. It's not even going to compare to what God's doing in my life. But you see, we have a problem. David has a problem. Too many times when things come against me, I begin to focus on the problem and not what God's trying to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, we know this story. Paul sought the Lord three times that he would deliver him from a messenger of Satan. Now, Danny, I like that. He said three times. Paul didn't search one time. Paul didn't search two times, but he went to the Lord three times. And I'm just going to throw this out there, and this don't even talk about y'all. Just talk about all those who's not here. Maybe Paul sought him on Sunday morning. Maybe Paul sought him on Sunday night. Maybe Paul sought him on Wednesday night. You see, Paul sought him three times. But I want you to realize something. Paul sought the Lord. He asked him to deliver him from this messenger of Satan. But what did God say? No, I'm not going to do it. And I don't believe it was just one time. I believe he told Paul three times, "I'm not going to do it. But my grace is sufficient." So what he really was telling Paul was, "Paul, if you'll just get your eyes off of what Satan's doing." And Jay, can you think about that? I mean, really, does that get down in your spirit? We wasn't talking about a headache. We wasn't talking about a stomachache. Satan himself was after Paul. And God is saying, "I'm not going to deal with him." He was really telling him, Paul, that's your problem. I'm not going to deal with Satan. But what I am going to do is give you my grace. And Paul is the one that wrote, the troubles of this world right now, what I go through right now, does not compare to the glory that's going to be in me. And Paul began to realize something that, you know, even though Satan was coming, if I'll just let God manifest himself in me, Satan is no match. But you see, we want to try to fight Satan on our own, and what you find out is you're no match for him. But with God's presence in your life, it's taken me too long to realize in my life when things begin to go wrong or I'm battling something, for so long I would give in to the battle. I would fight it on my own. But I come to realize if I'll stop in the middle of that, when it becomes an enemy, comes against me, if I'll just stop right there immediately and go to God and pray, he may not deliver me, but what he will do is pour his grace out. He'll pour his presence out on me, and I walk in that presence. Guess what? That battle that was so strong before, that battle that hurt so bad before, don't hurt no more. It's not strong anymore. Because no longer am I walking in the flesh, I'm walking in the presence of God. So Paul said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed in us. You see, God's wanting to do some things in your life. But the problem is, will we allow him? Will we be like Paul? And will we set our face to him and seek him? And Lynn, what if he doesn't answer? Well, I guess I'll just go to Walmart. Now we need to go back. Well, you go back again. What if he don't answer? Well, I'll just go ride a horse. Now you need to go back. You need to keep going back to God until God speaks. Until God moves. I want to tell you two stories. The first one is a little boy, wheelchair bound. Sunday after Sunday, he came to church. And he would get so excited at church, he just wanted to be so much in the presence of God that he would do like a lot of y'all do. He just rolled his little self down to the front in that wheelchair. And he would just worship God with all his might and all his heart. And there was a man in that church who would watch him Sunday after Sunday. And Jay, he couldn't figure out, what does this little boy have to praise God for? But he kept watching. And the little boy kept praising. Sunday after Sunday he would go. And finally one day the man just couldn't take no more, so he just walked down there to the little boy in the wheelchair and he said, what are you praising him for? What do you have to praise God for? You can't get out of that chair. You can't stand up and you can't move. All you can do is raise your hands. You can't play ball like other little boys. You can't throw the football and go catch it. You can't play basketball. You can't get outside and do what other little boys do. What are you praising God for? What has he ever done for you? And the little boy with tears in his eyes, he said, let me tell you, I'm not praising him for what he's done for me. I'm praising him for what he's going to do for me. You see, sir, you don't understand. This suffering I do right now, this little bit of pain I do right now in this wheelchair, these things that I cannot do right now, you just hold on. You just hold on, sir, because it's coming a day I'm going to walk on streets of gold. Matter of fact, I'm going to run on streets of gold. You see, this little short span right here, it's nothing but a vapor. This little boy had focused his whole life on eternity, and he knew it didn't matter what was going on right here, Lynn. He knew when eternity come, he would be whole and he would be complete. That man walked away realizing something. He didn't have what that little boy had. Now I'll tell you a second story. It's a man named Mark Connor. He was at my work center. He came in there almost a year and a half ago. I don't remember exactly. I should have looked it up today, but I didn't. But he's been with me for over a year. And he was just like most people that came to my work center when he first came in. He was just another inmate. No hope, no desire, no want to. Just didn't care. But over the months and over the years at the work center, something happened to Connor. I believe he got a hold of something like 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. He began to grasp something. He began to take this thing right here called the Bible, which a lot of us don't do. And he would sit down in the morning time when everybody else is sleeping, and he would begin to read. And he would begin to search these scriptures, and he began to look for answers to life. And he would come to me, and he would say, they call me Sarge up there. He said, Sarge, what does this right here mean? You see, he didn't have no Bible background. All he had was a dope background. He could tell you all about dope, but he didn't know nothing about this. And I watched him over the months, and as he began to get hungry, and I could see it in his eyes, he would walk by and he'd be so hungry for the Word of God. And I began to see his life change. You see, there's something we need to realize. Something. When you get born again, life is going to change. Don't tell me you born again, you're the same old man or same old woman that you used to be. You see, I had a girl one time ask me, when I worked at the jail, she couldn't believe that I was a preacher. She come to me one day at booking up there, and she said, you a preacher? I said, yes. Then she said the funniest question I've ever asked, you don't cuss? Because that's pretty normal inside that jail. Y'all go up there and stay 24 hours and see if you can't get out of there without. It won't be praise the Lord and hallelujah when you come out. And I told her, I said, well, I hate to admit it, but yeah, sometimes I lose my temper, Jay. Sometimes I let some words fly. Well, how can you be a preacher and you cuss? Well, I wasn't smart enough right then to say, well, Peter cussed. I wasn't that smart at the time. But this is what I told her. I said, well, here's the difference. Y'all go back there and y'all have one of them cussing fits with the inmates and y'all laugh about it. Y'all think it's funny. I go back there and I lose my temper and I cuss one of those inmates and I had to go find me a corner. I had to go outside and ask for forgiveness. You see, I'm still human. But this man, Connor, he came and I watched him over the years and he began to change. About a month ago, we had to go out to a church and do some work inside of a church, and I had all the inmates on the bus, and Connor was on there with us. And on the way out there, Connor says, hey, Sarge, when we get out here, can I have a word? Well, you see, I thought he was going to take up for me because we'd been having trouble inside the work center, so I figured he's going to set all them boys straight. That's what I thought. So I said, yeah, you have your say. Well, when he gets out there, he stands up. And he tells these guys, now I want you to talk about who he's talking to. Inmates. That he's got to go back and he's got to go back inside and he's got to live with. That he's got to lay down at night and try to sleep among. And they ain't all choir inmates neither. Some of them's rough. So he stands up and this is what he says. A year ago, I was right here doing this very thing that we're about to do tonight or today. Well, we're right here. A year ago, God told me to stand up and pray, but I was chicken. I didn't have it down inside of me. I wimped out. I didn't say a word. I went on and done a job, but I'm here to tell you today, God, give me a second chance, and if you will, bow your heads. And I watched as all those men, some 13 men on there with toboggans and caps on, I watched as every one of them pulled a toboggan out, pulled a cap out, and I heard that man pray like nobody ever prayed before. He prayed blessings of strength on them men. He prayed that those guys could leave that work center and go home and find jobs. He prayed that those guys could go home and be set free from drugs. You know, he took a bold stand. Don't tell me he didn't change. That man changed. And I watched him change, and I was excited about his change. Well, it had rolled it on forward. Here in the last week or so, about 2 weeks ago, he's getting ready to go home. His time is up. And when these guys paroled out, they had to send an address to their P.O. saying, this is where I'm going to go live at. And the P.O. goes to that address and checks it out to make sure that it's a qualified place, that there's no drugs, there's no weapon, and the people want him there. So we sent Connor's address in. I mean, here's a man of God, Jay. He's done grown up. He's not playing the world's games no more. He's playing God's game. And we sent his address in so that he could go home. And we get a letter back, denied. I did not want to tell that man his address was denied. because that man don't have no family no way. He's got a little dear old, I believe, a grandma or somebody down in Lauderdale County there he's going to stay. Without that address, he can't go. Without that address, he don't get out. He's got a flat time, which means he's probably looking at another year. But this is what he told me. It'll be all right. God's got this. I'm sitting over here wavering in my faith. But he's saying God's got this. So we go on and we find out the craziest thing that they did. Y'all know why they denied his address? It wasn't because there was drugs there. It wasn't because there was guns there. It wasn't because the person there didn't want him there. It was because when they went and knocked on the door, nobody was there. So denied. So it rocked on there. We got another word, address approved. So we're back on the right track. We all happy. So the next thing we know, we get his paperwork. He was supposed to have got out a couple weeks ago. Not going to happen. Again, here I am. I do not want to tell that man that serving God with all his heart, with all his might, and trusting God with everything in him, that he's not going home. But it's my job. How do you break that news to him? So I told him, I got your paperwork, but you ain't going home. Not yet. He said, okay. What's up? I said, they set you off a little while. He said, it's all good. He said, I've been doing a little reading. And I want you to know, this man got a word. He didn't get it from me. He didn't get it because somebody laid their hands on him. He didn't get it because the preachers that comes up on Saturday prophesied over him. He didn't get it none like that. He got it because he got in this word of God and he read this word of God. A man that don't know nothing about this Bible. Lynn, if you asked him where Genesis was, he couldn't tell you without going in here and trying to find it. He don't know that's the first book of the Bible. He don't know nothing like that. He don't know nothing about Revelations. All he can tell you is someday I'm going home to be with my King and my Lord, and I'm going to walk on streets of gold. That's all he knows. But he got in this word, and he got a word out of this word because, you see, when you read this word, we always want somebody to come up here and lay hands on us. We want somebody to come to us and prophesy to us. Why don't you get in this word and read this word a while? God still speaks through this word. Because if you get a word from a man and it don't line up with this word, it ain't a word. But he told me, he said, I've been reading over in Genesis chapter 40. And it says, and it came to pass after these things. I said, I'm still struggling with this. Larry, he ain't struggling. He's happy-go-lucky. He said, it's going to come to pass. God just got to do something. It came to pass after these things. You know what this man told me before he left? Thank God he put me here. Because this is where I met my Lord and Savior. I don't think I'd be saying that. But he did. So he asked me, he said, how long do I got to stay? Remember, he just threw that word on me and told me after these things. It came to pass after these things. I said, well, now keep in mind, this was a couple of weeks ago. I said, well, Connor, you got to stay here till March the 6th. And you thought that man just had a party. I mean, I would be about down and out. I mean, my time's up, I won't go. But he got excited because he also read. Now, y'all going to say this is coincidence. This is the way God spoke to this man. You see, I believe we serve a God no matter who you are, what level you on, if you'll get in that word, he will speak to you. He'll bring it to you in your mind, in your way that you can understand it. It might not make a lick of sense to Jay Bryan, but it makes all the sense in the world to me. So God will speak on a level that you will understand. And he spoke to Mark Connor on this on Genesis 41, verse 1. It came to pass at the end of two full years. Mark Connor went home today. Guess what today was? 2 full years he served in the penitentiary. Don't tell me my God ain't good. My God just sat there and used the word of God to confirm everything he's told this man all these years he's been in prison, all these days he searched him. He spoke to Mark Connor in a way that he could understand. He let Mark Connor know, it shall come to pass. You know what Mark Connor told me? Boss man, Sarge, when I walk out that front door in the morning, all this is in my past. It's done come to pass. I don't owe nothing no more. I don't need nothing no more because I'm going to look ahead in the future. Because my God said it's going to come to pass. You see, he didn't read all that other stuff. He didn't understand all that other stuff. But he understood that. It shall come to pass. Why do you think they moved his date to March the 6th? Because God was orchestrating a way to speak to him. That after 2 years, what he read in this word became real to him. So he left this place this morning a free man, headed back to Lauderdale County. And I hope somewhere in the near future I get to hear from him, because I know some great things is going to happen in that man's life. Because he's got something a lot of people ain't got. Oh, he don't have a fine house. He don't have a car. He don't have a job. He didn't even have no clothes to go home to. Somebody else had to give him some clothes. I gave him about $4 that he'd found on the road, so he's got about $4 to his name. And some guys gave him a bus ticket. But he's freer today than a lot of Christians I know, because he's got this right here that set him free. So you got to realize something. What made all this happen? In Isaiah 10:27, it says again, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off his neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed off his, because of the anointing. It shall come to pass in that day because of the anointing. You see, a lot of people don't want to hear this, but you need to hear this. God's got a set time for everything to happen. And you don't want it to happen until God's time. Because when God creates it and God calls it to happen, can't no demon from hell take it from you, because God gave it to you. So as you begin to look at this, you begin to think about this again. What is he talking about? It shall come to pass. It shall be destroyed because of the anointing. What is the anointing? Again, we know the anointing is the power of God. The anointing is the presence of God. The anointing is a manifestation of God himself. Think about Jesus. He didn't do any miracles. He didn't do anything but live on the earth until he got anointed by the Holy Ghost. And God began to manifest himself through his Son. So when you look at Jesus, you see Jesus and you see the Father at the same time. But I'm going to tell you, you didn't see the Father until after manifestation of the Holy Ghost. That's when the Father came on the scene. Them first 33 years, it was just Jesus. He was just a man. But when he got anointed, he began to break the yokes. He began to heal. He began to deliver. He began to raise the dead. Why? Because of the anointing. You see, so many times in my life, I wished I could change things. Nancy probably sitting over saying, amen, yes, Lord, help him. But I have a hard time sometimes. Lynn, sometimes I want to do right, but I do wrong. I'm just being real. And if y'all would get real, y'all say the same thing. Freddie, you ever hit your finger and you want to cuss, but you hold it back and finally you let it go? You knew better. We all been there. Well, how do I change? I got to get in the presence of God. Because that's where change comes from. You can't change on your own. I can take you to the work center and I can pull up my records. We started this state facility thing in 2020, 4 years. And I can show you man after man that came to my work center, that violated it, went back to Parchment, that got out, that's back in prison again. What's the difference? But I can show you a man that got out today that'll stay out. I can show you another man that got out a few years ago that will stay out. What's the difference? They came in one way, but they went out another way. They came in all alone, but they went out with somebody holding their hand, and his name was Jesus. You see, we got to get to a place in our life where we want to be in the presence of God. You really want change? You got to seek God. You got to be like Paul. You can't just seek him one time. Sunday morning's not enough. Sunday night's not enough. Wednesday night's not enough. You can come 3 times a week. We got one of the best Sunday school teachers there is. You can come to Sunday school all you want to. Suzanne, I'm sorry, it's not enough. You got to get in the presence of God of your own self. I wonder how many people would be like Mark Connor if I called them down front on Sunday morning and say, hey, pray, would pray. I wonder how many would say, I can't. Was his words fancy? Uh-uh. Was he a little tongue-tied? Uh-huh, just like me. But the difference is he fell in love with God. And he wants to stay in love with God. And he wants to be obedient to God. So that's what he did. So Isaiah 10:27 said, it's come to pass because of the anointing. Nothing's going to happen in this world without the presence of God. Nothing righteous. There's not going to be a turnaround in our government without the presence of God. You can pray all you want to, but until we get God on the scene, ain't nothing going to change. So it ain't about our will. There's living proof over there with Nancy. As long as I was praying for my will to be done in marriage, it didn't happen. But when I gave it up and said, God, your will be done. And Jay, he didn't lie. He gave me what I asked for. I asked for a woman that ride a horse. I should have clarified, she rode one time. So he done it. One time. I should have said multiple times, God, every time I ride, let her ride. But I didn't. But you see, when you begin to submit yourself, James 4:7 says, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. We got the last part of that verse down pat. Resist the devil. Oh, we resist all the time, but he never flees. Because we're not doing the first part. You can resist all you want to. You can fight with the devil all you want to. But you ain't got enough strength in your whole body to run him off. But if you would learn to submit yourself to God, walk in the presence of God every day of your life, and it ain't got to be something all super spiritual. You're just walking and talking with God. Boy, some of the funniest things I ever done when I'm over them horse trails and I'm riding and my dog gun run off. And I'm all by myself riding one horse, leading another horse. And I'm hollering, redemption! And folks will ride up on you and they'll look at you like, is this John the Baptist? Sometimes they'll say, you know, people get crazy. You're riding one horse, you're leading one horse. And I've had women to ride up and be like panicking. Hey, somebody fell off. No, he didn't fall off. You just can't see him. That's Jesus back there. Oh, they'll ride on in, boy. You know, you can have a lot of fun. But that's staying in the presence of God. That's sharing the love of God with people. You see, you got to get creative. So James, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, says, submit yourself unto God. You need to learn. You need to teach yourself how to worship God outside of this church. Wanda and them do an awesome job. I can't remember, Katie, is that right on the piano? Boy, ain't she coming. Ain't the anointing flowing more and more? But you got to learn to do something else. You got to learn to worship God out yonder somewhere. You got to put some music on out there somewhere. You got to learn to worship God down in your spirit. And when you begin to submit yourself, you begin to worship God, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't one of these preachers like to dare you, but I'm going to double dog dare you tonight. Next time Satan comes against you, forget about the attack. Put on your favorite gospel song and let it rip wide open as loud as you can stand it. Then some more and worship God. And when the song's over, look around and see where Satan's at. He's gone because you submitted yourself unto God. It don't take much resisting when you stay in the presence of God. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go out on a limb, Jay, and say, if you would stay in the presence of God more, you probably ain't going to have as many attacks as you did have. And they surely won't be as strong. So resist, but you must first submit. Now I want to go to Genesis. You see, I started on time because y'all know I have a hard time stopping. So I'm punching this thing up here to keep up with time. But in Genesis, we're going to talk about Adam. When I bring up the name of Adam, everybody says and thinks the same thing. I've done it. I've said this statement, boy, when I get to heaven, me and Adam's going to have a talk because he sure did mess up things. How many? Y'all quit looking at me like y'all don't think that. Y'all do think that. But when I say Abraham, oh, y'all get all faith-filled. The father of my faith. God loved them both. So Adam was created. And I want you to understand something. Adam was created in the very image of God. I believe when God said that, he created him in his image. I believe he put Adam and God side by side. You would have thought Adam is Jesus because Jesus is God. I almost said they was twins, but I guess it had to be triplets, wouldn't it? Because he's created in the very image of God. And y'all know the story. Every day God come down and he walked with Adam and he talked with Adam. Jay, wouldn't you like to be on some of them conversations? You would think after a while they'd run out of stuff to talk about. But can you just imagine? But you know the story. Then there came a day when old Satan came in the garden and he tempted them and they fell. They took of that fruit and they fell. But yet we want to point our finger at old Adam. Boy, Adam, you messed it up. Why are you pointing your finger at Adam? Remember, that's four more pointing back at you. Because we messed it up too. You say, what do you mean? If you was ever washed in the blood, if you was ever born again, and you sinned, you're just like Adam. That's a hard pill to swallow. But it's true. So you know the story. Adam and them. And Fred, I get tickled at this because I read this somewhere on Facebook. But Adam, and I guess Adam did it, I don't know. Anyway, they took fig leaves and they sewed them together and covered themselves. Thank God Adam knew what a fig leaf was and it wasn't poison ivy. Yeah. Hey, I seen it on Facebook. I had to say it. But anyway, Adam ran off and he hid himself because he heard the voice of God. And Adam knew he had messed up. Adam felt so shameful because he felt like he had betrayed the one that loved him so. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think about that song that Hayden did, Behold the Lamb, the love of God. I want you to think about that first song that Virgil then played. There's nothing in the heart of God but love. And I want you to think about this because I'm going to spin this story in a way that you've probably never seen it before. When God came down and Adam was over there hiding, you know God knew where Adam was. He's an all-knowing God. He knew what happened before he ever got there. Before God ever walked in the garden, he knew it. But when he called out to Adam, he said, Adam, where art thou? He knew. But what he really was telling Adam, Adam, why are you over hiding? Why are you over, Adam? What you doing over, Adam? It's our time of day. But you see, Adam was listening to voices. At this time, it wasn't the right voice. Because he made a statement before that. He said, I heard you. God, I heard you. But there was other voices. that was speaking to Adam. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe it was Satan. I believe it was a voice deep down inside of Adam. It was a voice of shame. A voice of self-pity. I messed this up. I had it made. Everything was mine. But he heard that voice again. Adam, where art thou? Adam, why are you hiding? Adam, don't you know I still love you? And I tried to find something in the Word of God, Jay, that would tell me, that would show me. I mean, I wanted it in black and white that God loved Adam. But I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the words like that. But I found something just as good. So when Adam finally came back to God, God said, them fig leaves you got, they ain't going to work. Because when you go over here and you study this Word of God, it said there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. So what did God do? He killed an animal and he took the hide of that animal and he made clothes for Adam. If God did not love Adam, why didn't he just wipe him out? Why didn't he just start all over then? There was plenty dirt. You know, why didn't he just sweep him under a rock somewhere and go over here and make a new Adam? Because he loved that Adam. So that brings me to another question. What are you hiding from? Why are you hiding from God? You see, my Bible tells me in Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. You see, when God called you, don't y'all know that when I got a divorce, the shame of divorce, I didn't ever want to stand behind a pulpit again. How could I do that? How can I call myself anointed to preach, Lynn, when I've been through a divorce? And one day in my tears and my frustration, because this is what I love to do. If there's one thing that I love to do more than ride a horse, is this right here. And Lord, if I get to do it as much as I ride a horse, I'd be a wore out dude. But anyway, just saying I ride a horse a lot. But one day in my prayer time, I was praying. And I was in tears because I thought this was a thing of the past. That not never again would this be open to me. Oh, I probably could be a lay speaker somewhere. I probably could go and preach at a horse camp somewhere. But a lot of churches, when you tell them you got a divorce, they're going to close that door. And Jay, what was crazy in that? I had some people tell me, well, brother, you can keep on preaching as long as you don't never get married again. Well, I guess I flubbed that up too, because I got married again. I just can't get right. I want to do right, but I can't get right. But in my prayer time, I was praying and stuff, and God just changed the whole subject that I was praying about. And he began to tell me, he said, do you not know that when I called you, when you was like 18-year-old, just like I knew Adam was going to mess up, I knew what was in your future. And I still called you. You see, God's call is outward penance. So again, church, I want to ask you something. Why are you hiding from God? There ain't a person in this room tonight that does not have a call on your life. And don't tell me your only call is to come in here and sit on this pew. Now, that ain't it. How many times have you been to Walmart and God has spoke to your heart and say, pray for that person? I'm not doing that. I don't know them. They may not receive it. How many times has God told you to pray for a coworker that just seen you have a fit last week? But now God's saying pray. His call is out repentance. His call don't go away because you messed it up. You flubbed the dub. So God's going to take back his call. No, he's not. The call is still there. Just like Adam. God's design when he went into that garden, he was looking for Adam, was to bring Adam, his call to Adam. Adam, where art thou? How come you ain't here, Adam? Come on back home, Adam. Now people want to say, well, if that's true, why did he kick Adam out of the garden? Well, let's look at that. That was mercy. A lot of people want to say it was judgment. No, that was mercy. Because had he left Adam in the garden, you read it for yourself in Genesis. Had he left him in the garden, Adam could have went and ate that tree of life. And he would have stayed in that sin state for life. Never dying, but always separated from God. So God in his great mercy pushed him out of the garden. But don't you ever think that God quit talking to him. Because he loved him. If Julius, he didn't love him, he'd just let him run around naked for the rest of life. He wouldn't have cut that animal up. He loved him. Why does my friend on cloud nine tonight? Because he realized something. Even though he messed up, he served time. He's walked for 2 years with them words on his back, convict. But not today. If he's going to walk today, he'd have a sign on his back say, redeemed. Son of God. Oh, let's get a little deeper. Anointed Son of God. Somebody going somewhere to make something happen. Blessed. You see, we got to get to the place in our life where we quit listening to ourselves. And I'm going to go out on another limb and say this. It ain't so much the devil talking to you. It's you talking to yourself saying, well, I just done too much. God can't use me anymore. I just done too much. What you're really saying is, when you say that, is the blood of Jesus Christ wasn't strong enough to wash your sin away. It wasn't powerful enough. So what are you hiding from? Why is it? I'm going to step on some toes. Jay, move your foot. Why is this church not full like we prophesied to be? Why is it not? Because we're not doing our call. We're not doing what God told us to do. You see, it's not enough just to come in here on Sunday morning and worship God and talk about people that's not here, wonder why they're not here. Pick up the phone. Call them. Go knock on the door. You know what will hurt more Christians than anything else will happen to them? Is when something happens to them and they miss church and nobody that's always said, I love you, calls. That hurts. And if you be honest, it's happened to you. It's happened to me. So we got to go farther. We got to quit hiding. So many people. We'll get asked this question. You go to church where? Faith Outreach. Oh. Y'all one of them tongue-talking folks. Ms. George, most people won't say that. Most people hold their head in shame, afraid. I don't want to be in heaven, and I don't even know if this is possible, but I don't want to be in heaven and look back, look over the portals. Jay, I don't know how it's going to be, but I don't want to look down into hell and see anybody that I ever come in contact with and realize I might be the reason that I didn't share the gospel. The manifestation of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You need to let that, I need to let that manifest in my life stronger and stronger every day of my life. Because like Connor, he couldn't grasp this until he started grasping the love of God. The world is tired of just seeing another church service on TV. What they need to see is the love of God manifested. And it can't just be inside these four walls. It needs to manifest on your job. You need to be the type of person when you walk in on your job or you walk in Walmart, that people start looking at you. Now, I'm self-conscious when people start looking at me. I like to look at people, but I don't want nobody looking at me. I go to a restaurant, I want to set my back to the wall because I want to look at somebody. Somebody going to do something funny, and I want to see it. But really what they are to see is you are to glow with the presence of God in your life. Who was it went to the top of the mountain? Was it Moses? And he came down, they couldn't look at him? That's the church. Where's the church tonight? When's the last time you walked in somebody and they went? Or when's the last time you walked and somebody told you, hey, Jay, you look like you're glowing, man. Something great done happened to you? You ought to glow for God because God ought to be manifested in your life. And when you allow God to manifest in your life, you're talking about world changing. Your world's going to change and the world around you is going to change. Now, I'm going to say this. Some of those friends you got, they're going to change because they're going to go out the door. But that's okay. When they get in trouble, guess who they're going to run to? They're going to come back to you. So tonight, just want you to close, and I'm going to close with this thought. It shall come to pass when you quit hiding. As long as you're hiding from God and not letting God manifest Himself in your life, I don't feel like much is going to change. It didn't change for me. But when I started getting bold, and I was one of those, people that, you know, I come to church and people ask me, say, where you go to church at? Faith Outreach. Well, what kind of church is that? Is that a Baptist church? No. Is that a Methodist church? Well, we got some Methodist people come down there, I think. You know, I'm trying to avoid the question. Well, what kind of church is that? Is that one of them churches that hounds them snakes? No, we don't do no snakes. What is Faith Outreach? Well, it's just a church. You ought to come sometime. Oh, what kind of church is it? What do y'all believe in? And it took me a long time to get to the place where I said, hey, we want them tongue-talking churches. We lay hands on you so many times in so many ways. Something's got to happen. And, you know, and people will run from you. But God will use you because you're that bold in avenues that will change people's lives. When you let God use you and quit hiding from God, things will come to pass. Amen. If y'all bring the prayer request down, Jay only went 5 minutes over. Getting better. Well, I started on time. You get out here on time. Yeah. We've been here a while. Prayer request, come on down.